This is the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast, episode number 7.
Hey there, you're listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. My name is Zach Spuckler, and on this show, we talk about how to go from passionate side hustler to full-time online business owner with tips, tricks, and interviews to help you take it to the next level. Let's do it.
What is up? I am so happy to bring you a very special episode this week because normally I bring you a lot of people who you might be familiar with or you probably already know them from the online marketing space. And this week is a little unique because I'm bringing you a personal friend and my first ever real business mentor, Angie Green, who is in Beachbody, which is a direct sales company or network marketing company. And over the last 4 to 5 years, she turned it into a million-dollar business. She did enough sales and built a big enough team that she has generated $1 million in commissions and bonuses. And we won't really get into the structure of how that's processed because honestly, when you hear this interview, you're going to understand why that's super irrelevant. But what we are going to talk about is understanding how to actually build a community of people around you who share your vision. And in direct sales, that's so powerful because if people don't share your vision, they won't do the work with you. And if they won't do the work with you, you don't get paid. However, in any business, having people around you with a shared vision is, it's literally money. I mean, it's how I've built my Facebook group so fast and so quickly. It's how I get people who are ready and excited for my products. It's how I get people behind me who are just ready to defend me and, you know, jump on the proverbial train tracks for me and stand up for me and my programs, my products, and my service and my beliefs. And so the moment you can get people behind you and your vision is the moment your business can really hit that tipping point and just explode. The other thing we talk about, which I love so much, is not just attracting those people who share your vision, but actually motivating the people in your life. And you guys are going to hear Angie say something that I think some people don't want to hear, but she's going to talk about how sometimes it's actually not even your problem if somebody doesn't share your vision. And when is it time to just basically tell someone, you can't be a part of this with me because I don't want to work with you and you don't want to work with me. So it's just such a great episode. And if there's anything that resonates with you, you can always head over to the show notes, heartsoulhustle.com/7. And we'll have all the links we talk about and some really good key points that we're going to pull out. But that's all I'm going to give you. Let's jump into today's episode. Hey, Angie, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, I'm really excited to have you here because you have done so many amazing things. So I just want to tick off a couple of things that you've done here. So you're a wife, a mother, you've done $1 million in your direct sales business. You have worked with some incredible people, incredible companies in incredible ways. And I'm just really excited to bring a unique perspective. A lot of the guests that I had on the show and will have on the show are a lot of people who are like internet marketers, you know, internet coaches, business coaches, and your story is so unique because you are really just pursuing your passion and leveraging it into a substantial income. And so I'm really excited to dive into that. But before we do, why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are, what your background is, where you are now, share whatever numbers you want to share, and then we'll get into the good stuff.
Oh, awesome. Well, thank you again for having me. I really appreciate it. It has been a crazy journey. So I have always been passionate about fitness. And I wanted to pursue it as a career. I just never thought that I could really turn it into a full-time business or be able to have the significant amount of income from it. So I actually took the easy way out in college and went into speech therapy because I thought at the time, you know, speech therapists make, I don't know, $40,000 a year. It's comfortable. I just kind of settled where I was with that at the time. And that's why I picked that major. But I always had this deep passion for fitness. And I was teaching college group exercise classes and kind of fell in love with fitness there and just still continued to settle and then graduated from college. I got married. I had a baby, had the last 15 pounds that I couldn't lose, you know, a year after my son was born. And once again, I just settled. This is how it's going to be. I'm always going to be 15 pounds overweight. And then I discovered a fitness program that I truly, truly love that changed the shape of my body and really just changed my mindset. The weight came off, my body changed. And that gave me the confidence to really start believing in myself that I didn't have to settle where I was in my life. And that just led to an amazing business opportunity affiliated with Beachbody. And I have since just grown that into basically a life that's just allowed me to live by my own design and just be comfortable in my own skin and happy and being able to pay that forward with other people. And that's been pretty awesome.
Awesome. I love it. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the company and kind of what you've managed to do? Because for the listeners, they don't know, but I've known you for about 6 years and you're one of like the most modest people that I know. So you're always like, oh, I live a good life. But why don't you tell them what you've done? Because you have done more than just sign up and pay some bills. You have worked like with heads of the company, with amazing people in the company. And how much have you managed to kind of leverage this opportunity into?
Well, I will say when I discovered this opportunity, I was working full-time in the fitness industry. I made the change from speech therapy to campus recreation. And so I was enjoying my job, as you know that. We've worked together for many years. I loved my job there, but I knew that I only had the ability to reach so many people that way through fitness and even through teaching group exercise classes. You know, I have a class of, I don't know, anywhere from 20 to 30 people. And I just felt like I was made for something greater than that. I wanted to be able to connect with more people as often as I could. I really was so passionate about fitness. I mean, I started getting into fitness when I was really, really young. I remember watching Jack LaLanne on TV. I don't know if you know who he is, but
dude, the juicer.
Yeah, the juicer. He's a founder of fitness. And so I used to sit in my living room, my little Wonder Woman underoos, you know, eating my bowl of cereal, watching him in black and white on TV. And I was drawn to that. I just thought that was so cool how he shared his passion of fitness for everybody. And I just wanted to be able to do that to more people as well. So when I came across the opportunity with Beachbody, you know, I wasn't in the best place in my life. Like I said, I was still a little bit overweight. I was going through a divorce. My son had been diagnosed on the autism spectrum at a very early age. And so that, of course, brings a lot of stress with that. And so I was just going through a lot of stuff and trying to figure it out. And I found that being involved with a company and an affiliate like Beachbody, something that I really love to do, I was able to just share that with other people, which led me to naturally build a team of other people who had the same passion that I had and the same drive that I had. And through that and through building that amazing team, obviously helps generate income, you know, for everyone involved too. And so that honestly just naturally led to so much growth in the first few years. I didn't really run with it right away, but once I took that passion and I really decided that I was going to do whatever it takes to build, it was so easy for me to build. And that led to, you know, income beyond what I ever thought I could make in fitness or in speech therapy.
Awesome. So why don't you talk to us a little bit? So for the listeners, I know that I have some listeners who are in direct sales and I have some listeners that are doing their own thing or sell their own products. But I think one of the things and the qualities that you have that is so impressive is that you're able to motivate people to a point to do the things that they need to do to get the results that they want to get. And whether that's financially, physically, you have this ability to motivate, you know, teams of people and internal teams, external teams. And I would love to have you talk on that a little bit and what you kind of do to get other groups of people motivated. So for those that are listening, this is great for people in direct sales who are motivating their team, or even those of you who are just looking to like build a community of people around you that share a common vision.
Yeah, exactly. And it's funny that you said that because I didn't really know what I was doing in the beginning of this. You know, it was a brand new network marketing company. And so we had no systems, we had no training. I didn't know what the heck I was doing. All I knew is that I had an end goal and I shared a lot of the same passions and the same goals that Beachbody has. And so that's why I was really connected to it. And so I had to find other people who shared those same interests and had the same passion. And I had to figure out how can I motivate them, one, to get started, and two, to keep them on a track to help them become successful, because that, of course, would determine my success of my business. So I kind of break that up into two different categories, you know, finding people and getting them motivated to start their own journey with their own business as well. And I think I did that by really just helping them develop the belief in themselves. I know that I started this opportunity because I had been working with Chalene Johnson for a very long time. And by working with her and by having that physical transformation and building that confidence, that led to a natural belief in myself that I could achieve my goals. And so I knew that if I had that type of transformation, I had to pass that along to anyone who wanted to get involved in that business too. So we did that through just conversation and connecting and sharing personal development with each other. And once they decided that this is something they wanted to do, then it was a matter of keeping them motivated. So every time I'd have a new member join the team, we really tried to figure out what we call their why. So why do they want to be in this business? Why do they want to have success? Why do they want to make positive changes in their life? And really finding out the deeper why, you know, not just I want to make more money or not, you know, I want to sell products that I love. It has to be something that is more internal for them. And we just kind of use that as a reminder for them throughout their business journey to help them stay motivated to reach their goals.
Now, you said something really, really subtle. I'm willing to bet that most people didn't even catch it, but I wrote it down and underlined it and circled it because you said you have to find people who want it. And I think that regardless of whether you're in direct sales or you're running your own business, or you're a coach, or you're a consultant, it comes down to finding people who share your vision. So can you talk a little bit about how do you find those people that want to share that vision with you? Because it's not how do I conform people to my vision, it's how do I get the people who want the same things and then help them really clarify that vision as we go together.
Yeah. I think I went in there, you know, I really went in this with some high business goals, and I wasn't afraid. I wasn't afraid of being selective about who I wanted to join me in the venture. So, and maybe in the beginning, not knowing then what I know now, you know, they say, what if I knew then what I know now? In the beginning, I was like, okay, who wants to do this? Who wants to do this? I'll take my dog. Then I realized, you know, through some mentorship and some coaching that I shouldn't be afraid to be selective because these people that I have worked with and are now team members with are my family. I mean, we talk every day, we text every day, we're on Zoom calls together. Of course, we have groups and meetings. We truly are a tight-knit group. So I have had people in the past that I have unfortunately turned business away from because it just wasn't a good fit. It wasn't a good fit for them, or it wasn't a good fit for me. And you can't be afraid to do that if you are really looking at your business as a business and long-term.
And I love that. And I call my community like my Heart Hustler family because you really are attracting people with such a shared, it goes so much deeper than vision. It's crazy when you talk to people about why you're doing things. And maybe you've come across this, that when you talk to people like, okay, so tell me why you're doing this. It's almost shocking how many of them have like crazy similarities to you before you even know it.
Right.
So here's what's really, really cool. You have done this without a big list. Actually, I remember I convinced you to start a list.
You did.
Thank goodness. You took my advice before anybody knew who I was. You trusted me that I knew what I was doing.
Yeah.
You started a list. But when you first started, you did this for about 4 or 5 years without an email list. So can you talk to us, like, you essentially built $1 million worth of relationships, like the old school way with new school technology, essentially being, you know, for lack of a better way to put it, like tech illiterate.
I still am tech illiterate.
Good. I'm glad you weren't offended by it. So talk to us about how have you leveraged like social media in a one-to-many and yet one-to-one way to build those relationships?
Well, I'm not saying it's the best practice. I probably could have utilized my time better. But again, I was really just building off the cuff and just kind of just going with whatever my heart told me to do. And what my heart told me to do was just really connect with as many people personally as I could, one-on-one connections. So even though I may have not had a list, I mean, I'll call myself out. I've been in this, I didn't formally work the business when I first got into it. You know, I was one of those Weight Watchers. I just waited and watched. But even still, it was a good 5 years until I actually made a list. I'm working on the list now, but I also don't think I've ever run a Facebook ad. Maybe one that you helped me run.
The one I convinced you to run.
Yeah. I am an old-fashioned person. I'm very traditional, and I just really strongly believe in the power of personal connections. And that's honestly what I thrive on doing. So that's how I've built my business. I've really just put myself out there and looked for people who shared commonalities with, because I knew that those people, if we had some type of similarity, we could have a connection. And I grew my business very, very selfishly. So I told you, you know, when I first started growing the business, I was dealing with my son and his autism, and we're going through various therapies, and I needed support for that. So I joined a Facebook group for parents who had kids with autism. I was going through a divorce, so I looked for other single moms out there. I transferred my time away from the TV and onto social media. And at the time, my favorite TV show was Desperate Housewives. I loved that show, but I gave it up because I gave up TV at night to build my business. And I joined the Desperate Housewives Facebook group because I wanted to see what was going on. That was tough, but I had to let it go. And so I met people there, and the people that I met, we already had things in common with, and that led to conversation, and that led to interaction and rapport and relationship building. And so from there, that's really how I built my business. It was just really good old-fashioned one-on-one personal interaction.
That's such a good point because, you know, I'm going to like geek out a little bit, but I love Taylor Swift. I have like secret love for Taylor Swift. And what a lot of people don't know is her original marketing plan was, if I want to make $500,000, I need to meet 500,000 people. And so she just went on the road and she started going to radio stations and she drove places and she interviewed and she met with fans and she met with people. And what's really cool is that you have essentially done the exact same thing, but with Facebook groups. And so I would love to talk about Facebook groups a little bit.
Okay.
I know I'm about to throw you because we talked about some stuff and this is going to be totally off the cuff. But I think Facebook groups are so valuable for growing authentic connections regardless of your business. Mm-hmm. But how do you get into these groups? Because we see people who go in, like to, for example, the Desperate Housewife groups, and they're like, hi, my name is Angie and I'm a Beachbody coach and I also like Desperate Housewives. And that doesn't get them any business.
That's gross.
It's. I love it. It is. It really is. So talk to us about building authentic relationships and how do you do that kind of knowing that you're building relationships to build your business? Does that make sense? So how do you kind of do it the right way?
But to be totally honest, I went in there taking all the pressure off of my shoulders, saying, you know what? I need this in my life. I need support with, you know, being a single mom and having a son with autism and missing out on Desperate Housewives. I need that support in my life. And I'm going to take all the pressure off of myself and I'm not going to go in there with the intention of hoping someone will want to join my team or buy this product. And through conversation and interaction, if something pops up where I think a person might have a problem in their life and that answer can be solved with my business, awesome. Then we'll lead that to, you know, an invitation. But otherwise, I've made some amazing friends on social media and they might not do business with me directly, but I bet you they will refer someone to me.
Mm.
So essentially, would it take a little bit longer to build my business that way? It's definitely a little more challenging than attraction marketing where you're constantly bringing people to you. But in the long run, it's really helped me make some lasting relationships.
But in a weird way, it kind of is attraction marketing because I am willing to bet you're always flooded with like new people you don't know now that you did all that 5 years of groundwork of just building out that network.
I agree. And I think by building your brand, that helps kind of spread the word of who you are and what you do. And so I might not be known as, you know, Angie Green, the single mom. I mean, I'm not a single mom anymore, but, you know, or Angie Green, the Beachbody coach. I'm known as Angie Green, who really likes to work with anyone who's willing to help themselves, because those are the kinds of people that I've ultimately worked with and met and really helped grow.
So really, you want to work with people who want to help themselves. And if it's people who don't want to help themselves, don't have the commonalities with you, you're okay at a point in your business now to just say, then maybe it's not a good fit.
I am okay with that. That's very frustrating to me. I mean, I want to work with people who are motivated to improve their health, improve their fitness, increase their income, make a career change, and someone who's willing to walk the talk. And unfortunately, you know, you have to take the good and the bad with your business. And many times became at a point in my business where I was so frustrated, and I'm sure everyone has reached the point in the business where they're, you know, working with people who aren't really motivated to help themselves. And so you feel like you're spending all your time constantly pulling them along. And so it took a conversation that I had with Shalene. I mean, Shalene's been an awesome mentor. And she's helped me through you know, tough times with personally and professionally. And so a conversation that we had was, I have this and this and this that are all part of my business. And here's the parts that I don't love. I don't love working with people who aren't motivated. I don't love selling a product to somebody who's never going to use it. I love working with people who want to thrive and want to grow and want to change. And so her advice to me was, well, then work with those people. Then structure your business that way. And once I made that decision, my business really started to flourish.
So would you say it's kind of at some point early on, like I think we all have that first, you know, year or month or however long it is for you, where it's like anybody willing to pull out a credit card is the perfect customer for us. Mm-hmm. So at some point, would you say it's kind of almost a leap of faith and a nod to everybody who's already done it, that by telling the people with a credit card who you couldn't stand to be in a room with for, for 10 minutes that, you know what, here's somebody else your credit card would be better suited for. And even though it's not money in your pocket, it is long-term. Is that just like a leap of faith you have to make at some point?
I think so. I think it's definitely a risk, but I think you have to follow your gut, you know, like with anything else. If you have a red flag or you have something that's telling you this just isn't the right fit, you have to go with that and you might have to politely decline.
That's so key. And I think that that's something so many people miss, is that building a community, building a team, building even a customer base is about finding the people you actually want to work with. It's about working with the people who are going to stick through it.
Absolutely.
I can attest to that. I've had people spend multiple thousands to work with me and then they don't schedule calls. They don't show up to phone calls. So it's not always money that solves people's commitment, drive, passion, motivation, dedication issues.
Right, right.
Awesome. So I kind of want to back up a little bit. Okay. So we essentially said, you know, you remove all expectations and you just kind of know, I'm paraphrasing, but your network is your net worth. So as long as you're networking and building connections, you don't care if it leads to direct business because you know it will expand your reach and that does lead to more business. So it's this direct, indirect. So how do you go about connecting with people, right? Which I know is a loaded question. So I'll put it in like a really specific context. Okay. So I join a Facebook group about, say, my favorite TV show. I don't know if you watch Vanderpump Rules.
I don't watch TV.
Okay, well, I'm addicted to Vanderpump Rules, which is a reality TV show. It's like Real Housewives, right?
Oh.
So, yeah, it's good. But let's say I decide to join like a fan group. So where do I start to start connecting with these people?
Okay, so for example, I recently joined, okay, American Horror Story. That's the one TV show that I watch.
It's a good show.
It's a great show. It's a little freaky, but it's really interesting. So, and I like Lady Gaga. So they have a group on Facebook and it's just people really just talking about the episodes and, you know, what's happening or not happening, or they think it's going to happen or what's going to be in, you know, the next season. And I really just get on that page and I just interact. So because I love the show and I love talking to people about it. So to me, again, I'm going in there with no intention other than interacting with other people who have the same interests that I do in this show. Through there, I look for people who seem interesting and fun. And if there's a certain person that we may continually comment back and forth on, then I will engage with that person directly. And we can become friends on Facebook and we just start communication about the TV show and then just ask questions to get to know each other. I mean, it's really like when I go into those Facebook groups, I think of myself as I'm at a cocktail party and I know no one. So how am I going to make friends or find somebody to talk to in the fastest time possible? Because nobody wants to stand by themselves at a cocktail party. That's boring and awkward.
Yes.
And then eventually when you're looking around the room at the cocktail party, you're like, oh, this person looks really cool. This person's somebody that I want to talk to. Or I hope this person comes up to me and asks me a question. And that's just kind of how I view it, you know?
I think that's such a great analogy. And I use the cocktail party analogy all the time when I talk about Periscope. And yeah. I love that you're using it for Facebook groups because you can always use that as a litmus test to whether or not something should come out of your mouth. Like if I was actually in a room with this person, would I say that? Like would I walk into a cocktail party and be like, hi, my name's Zach and I teach people Facebook and Periscope. What's your name? Like I would never do that.
Right.
So I think that that's so amazing. So there's like one more thing I want to dig on right here. I feel like we've just really covered so much, but this is something that I hit with a lot of people that I work with, which is how do you put yourself out there? So like, I'm cool that I have to expand my network. I've joined this really awesome Facebook group. It's totally in line with my interests. I'm going to talk all about the Real Housewives and I can't get enough of it. But now I have to tag this person who doesn't know me. which is weird because I'm new, right? So how do you get past that?
Well, I'm hoping that my personality will come out somehow in the posts. And I really just focus on being me and being authentic. And, you know, I'm not the funniest person in the world. I try to be. So hopefully I'll interject something that might be funny enough that this person will say, oh my gosh, this girl's funny. I want to see, you know, more about her. Or I really like her answer to that question on what she thinks is going to happen next week. I'm going to check her out. So I really just focus on being myself and being authentic. And that's what I do through the groups that I'm in and through my Facebook posts. And I guess that's where the attraction marketing comes in, because I just, you know, show the real version of me and hope in some way that I might make a connection with somebody that I can help.
And that's such a good point. I think so many people are afraid that if you are authentic, that's what gets you in trouble. But it's just the opposite. And it's that being authentic is what works. And that's such a core message to everything that I do. And I know it is for you too, is just show up 100% who you are. And that's what brings in the people with the same vision. Because when you show up as who you are, there's no question about what you want.
Absolutely. And I think my team would attest to that. I mean, if you look around, you know, the team that I have, there are a lot of women who have been divorced. And there's a lot of moms and dads who have kids who have autism. And I have a dance background, so a lot of dancing, athletes, group exercise instructors, that's a big passion of mine too. So you just, what's that saying? You are who
your vibe attracts your tribe.
Exactly.
Awesome. That's such a good point. It's so funny. I point this out all the time that I always have people who are vegetarian or vegan around me, like always. Doesn't matter what I do online. Always, if I do a webinar, a Periscope, somebody is there who has that. And I don't talk about that too much. I talk about it now more because it happens.
Yeah.
But that's such a good point. So we'll wrap it up here and I'll just ask you like the last two core questions. But I think the funniest thing is that you just pointed out it's about using Facebook the way Facebook is meant to be used. Being a normal person, being sociable, being authentic, like interacting like a person would interact, not like a salesman. And that ultimately allows you to expand your network.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. I post stuff that every other average person would post. I eat pizza. You know, I posted the other day of I'm a fitness professional and I went through the drive-thru and got my son Wendy's on the way to karate. Like, sorry, I'm a real person. I'm not this perfect fitness person. I have the same joys and challenges as everybody else, but I think that's what makes me real. And that's what I've been told a lot about my brand is people will say, I really like you because you're real. And sometimes I think they're saying, I like you because you're a dork. Because some of the things I post are a little dorky.
No, there's nothing wrong with that.
I appreciate that because that makes me different and that's what makes me, you know?
Yeah, I love it. So for everybody listening, if they could do one thing, like if they just listen and they're like, wow, so I'm ready to attract my tribe. What's one thing they can do right now or in the next week to start moving towards that, to start building a team of people around them with a shared vision?
That's a good question. I think really recognizing what your passion is and write it down. And you don't have to announce it to the world, you know, that this is something that you're doing because you don't want to come across the wrong way, but you do need to tell other people this is what you have for yourself and this is what your goal is for yourself. And I think that you have to love what you want to do so, so much that it just consumes you. Not that you become obsessed with it in an unhealthy way, but it's something that you love doing every single day. And I know for me, fitness was that. I didn't know exactly where it would lead me, but I knew that it was my passion and I mean, it was my therapy. So, you know, I've had a lot of hardships just like everybody else has, but you know, when I've had those hardships, working my business or getting involved in fitness was my therapy. And people would say like, that's not healthy. You know, you really shouldn't be doing that today or you should take time for yourself. But it has to be something that you're so passionate about that you are willing to do it every day because you want to do it, not because you have to do it. So I don't know if that answers your question.
No, it does. I just want to touch on that. You know, it is that balance is almost a myth, right? Like it is a part of who you are. You travel for what you do. Part of what you do every day. Like, just let it go. Like, yeah, you have to have a balanced life. Yeah, you have to enjoy your family. But the one thing you can do is find out what is it that you're okay having a part of your life every single day. It doesn't have to consume your happiness, but it does consume who you are because it is a part of you because you're being authentic.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why you have to love it that much, because if you really want to build a significant business for yourself, you're going to have to work hard and you're going to have to put the time in and you're going to have to hustle, as you know, but you have to love it that much that you're willing to do that.
Awesome. And that's a perfect segue into the last question, which I ask everybody on the show, which is, what does the word hustle mean to you as it pertains to business?
Oh my gosh. I think I just summed it up. I mean, hustle means you have to work at it every single day, whether you feel like it or not, whether you're tired or you're not, whether you have a full schedule or not, you have to just be consistent and you have to be willing to do whatever it takes to reach your goals. And I know when I really made the decision that I was going to build a significant business for myself and my family and my future, I was with a team and we had created these vision boards and, you know, people are slapping up pictures of like their dream house and Maui and a Ferrari. I don't know. I'm not into cars. None of that stuff meant anything to me. I just put three words on my vision board that said, whatever it takes, because that's when I made the decision. That's what I'm going to do every single day. I'm going to do whatever it takes to build this business.
I love it. That's so powerful. I love that. So tell us where we can go to find out more about you.
Awesome. Well, I have a website. It's www.angiefit.com. I'm also on social media, and most of my social media sites are Angie Green, the number 11.
Cool.
Because Angie Green is apparently a pro golfer. That name was taken, so it has number 11 after it.
So it's Angie Green 11, and correct, we'll put that in the show notes and on all the social media channels we have you on. And like you said, you post great stuff, sometimes a little dorky, but we like that. Awesome. Well, Angie, thank you so, so much for being on the show today. I really appreciate it. And I cannot tell you enough. You know, I just want to take this opportunity because hopefully thousands of people are listening, but you have been a huge influence in my life, one of my first business mentors. And I'm just so excited to kind of take it to the virtual airwaves and be able to share all the amazing things that you embody to a larger
audience.
That's
so awesome. I know we have both come a long way, haven't we? Isn't it crazy?
It's been a wild ride.
I know.
So
great.
Thank you so, so much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. It was so much fun.
Well, I think that was a pretty solid interview, and I'm pretty sure you'll agree. And I'll keep it totally real with you guys and give you a little behind the scenes of the podcast, which is normally I take these really extensive notes when I do interviews with people. And I actually took really good notes with Angie, but I'm recording this outro from San Francisco. So I do not have my notes. However, I've known Angie for years and I know some of the stuff we talked about. So I want you to, if you're taking notes, just take a quick second and write a couple of things down that I'm so hopeful that you got out of this one. And the first thing is that if somebody doesn't share your vision, you can push and pull, but it's better to walk with. And I don't really know if we said that exactly, but I know that we hit on that, which is the sad reality is we want everyone to want our products. We want everyone to want what we're buying. We want everyone to want what we're selling. But sometimes people just don't share our vision, and you cannot spend your life and your business convincing people to follow you. But when you really step into your power and you're totally authentic about who you are and what you do, even in Facebook groups, which we do talk about, that's when people share your vision. That's when people follow you. And what's so interesting about Angie, and maybe you heard it in the interview, is that people follow her, but she's never in front as a leader. Right? And is she a leader? Absolutely. And would I consider her one of the most leadership developed people that I know? 100%. But when she's with her team and she's sharing her vision, she's walking side by side with people. And I think that that's something so powerful that if you didn't pick up on that in the interview, I'd encourage you to rewatch it and really say, what qualities does this person have that she's one of the most humble people I know? And yet having worked with her, I know the reach and the amazing thing that she's doing. And so when you can package that vision and honesty and reality and, you know, the things that you just want, people just flock to you in the craziest, most unimaginable ways. So I hope you got so much value. Again, if you want to like really get the nitty gritty, that's a little better than this outro because we'll keep it real. You can head over to heartsoulhustle.com/7. We have all those awesome notes and I will see you on the next episode.
Thanks for listening to the Heart, Soul, and Hustle podcast. For more great stuff, be sure to visit heartsoulhustle.com.